I have given a handout, everybody, and it's titled Philosophy, the Love of Wisdom. The point that I want to convey today in summary is, first of all, there are two types of wisdom. There is the wisdom of this world, and there is the wisdom of God. And that we need to be clear on how we can distinguish between the two. And secondly, that true wisdom, the wisdom of God, is of extraordinary value above all other things. The word philosophy means the love of wisdom. It comes from the Greek word phila, which is love, and sophia, which is wisdom. It has sometimes been said that philosophy is not so much the love of wisdom as the love of one's own wisdom, because philosophers often think themselves wise. And the way to check against that is to realize that we do not individually have a monopoly on truth. Each of us must be kept in check by the Word of God, realizing that God has a monopoly on truth, and that if we want to be wise, we must conform our thoughts to the wisdom of God in the Scriptures. Let me point to a couple of places in Scripture where it talks about the love of wisdom. First, we have Proverbs 29:3. It says, "Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. A son who is wise will make his father pleased." But this is also true in a spiritual sense, that if you are wise in the things of God, you will please your heavenly Father. Proverbs 4, verses 5 to 9 says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all that getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. When thou dost embrace her, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. So wisdom brings all of these great things, and loving wisdom is wise. Loving wisdom leads to obtaining the good. That's why I have next below, my heading is, wisdom is knowledge that leads to blessedness. We can know many things that do not bring us blessedness. But there is some knowledge that brings blessedness. And that is the distinction between knowledge in general and wisdom in particular. Proverbs 14, verse 3 says, "Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." Instruction, obtaining this knowledge that leads to blessedness, is your life. Proverbs 4, 7, which is in the text that we read above, but I want to zoom in on a part of it. It says, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Every action that we take in our lives is based upon believing that what we do is going to obtain something better than what we have. Everything we ever do is because we think what we're about to do will get us something better than what we already have. And that applies to the smallest of things. You breathe because if you don't breathe, you think it will be worse. We eat because eating, we think, will solve the problem of our hunger. And when we are not hungry anymore, we will be more pleased than we are while we are hungry. And so it applies to the smallest and to the greatest of things. We work so that we can obtain money, that we think the money will serve the purpose of obtaining food, obtaining shelter, obtaining clothing. Right? So we do actions for the purpose of accomplishing ends. And the Bible teaches us that wisdom will accomplish the greatest end for us. So we should get wisdom. Proverbs 19:8 says, "He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good." And so if you love yourself, the best way you can serve yourself is by obtaining wisdom. Proverbs 3:13, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Proverbs 24:14, "So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." Wisdom, unlike everything else that we get, leads to rewards that cannot perish. You may recall Christ teaching that we should seek first the kingdom of God, because unlike on earth, our treasures in the kingdom of God, when we store up treasures in heaven, they don't rust, that cannot be stolen. Moth cannot eat it. The grain cannot spoil. The house cannot be destroyed by tornado. Wisdom is the surest means to obtaining blessing that cannot be lost. And if you spend your time giving it up on from other things and instead pursue wisdom, you are giving up something that you cannot keep in exchange for something that you cannot lose. 24 verses 3 to 4. Through wisdom is a house builded. You're going to love old language. Through wisdom is a house builded. And by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Wisdom is not only a means to obtain an ultimate blessing for yourself, but wisdom also results in the obtaining of those things which are more temporary. Wisdom also results in the ability to use those things in a way that is ultimately more pleasing as well. Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? This is not a statement that gold and silver are useless. Money is extremely helpful, extremely valuable. It is necessary to build up wealth for the sake of all sorts of good purposes, and including for survival. Paul commands us, for example, that we should earn so that we have enough to provide for ourselves, but also to be able to be a blessing to others, to give to those who are in need. And so the scriptures are not denigrating the value of money, but it is saying money is valuable, and wisdom, if it is more valuable, how great is the value of wisdom? Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and don't sell it. Now the amazing thing about the truth is, unlike other goods, there is never a scarcity of it. Truth can be held by more than one person. It can be shared without diminishing the amount of it that belongs to any one person. And that is why when you obtain wisdom, it results in you being a blessing to others. Proverbs 10:21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. If wisdom is life, foolishness is death. There's another proverb that I don't have listed here, but it says that he who hates wisdom loves death. The lips of the righteous feed many. And that is because they share wisdom. They feed the souls of other men by giving truth out. You may recall that Christ said in John chapter 6 that if you want life, you must feed on his flesh and drink his blood. Now, he was not saying there that taking the Lord's Supper actually brings eternal life, but instead that the Lord's Supper is a symbol for eating on the word of life, that Christ is the word, and that if we feed on that word of truth and not just rely on bread, but upon the wisdom that comes from God, that we will have life indeed. God, if he knows what is most valuable, he gives the gift that is most valuable to those whom he loves. Proverbs 10:13 says, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. God uses discipline, he uses suffering, he uses difficulty in our lives to cause us to learn. That God uses difficulty for a discipline. And his purpose is to call us back to wisdom. It is a calling back to wisdom. And we talked about how all of the curses that are given in Genesis to Adam as a result of sin, for those who reject the truth of God, they are curses ultimately. But for those who believe the truth of God, who accept the word of God, all of them are tools that are used for their blessing. It is the difference between punishment and discipline. Punishment is for the harm of the one who has committed evil, but discipline is for the purpose of teaching those whom you love that you are trying to discourage the evil and encourage the good. So Proverbs 10:13, I'll read it again. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Right? So it's not just pain, but it's having a message. Right? So God gives us his word, and ultimately the pain that we suffer, at its most basic level, it has to do with the conscience. That once you understand the truth and don't suppress it, that when you go against the truth, the reproof itself teaches us, but God causes us to have mental anguish, to have our consciences bother us. That Eddie talked about the conscience, he talked about the rod, he talked about church discipline, and he talked about the sword that's in the hand of the magistrate. Each of those are tools for dealing with evil. But the most ultimate one, none of the institutions can work at all unless the conscience of the individual is ruled by the Word of God. And that when we go against the Word of God, it bothers our conscience. And so it is a rod to us. The Word is a rod to us, because it makes us suffer when we go against the Word of God, and we are pleased and have joy when we do what God commands. So the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. My parents must train up. Those in the church must train up new believers. Those who fail to train up do not love those under their authority. And so, if God loves a man, he will train that man up. Proverbs 3:12. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now, this proverb is taken and expanded in Hebrews in the New Testament, in chapter 12. The thing we just read, right? We just read a very short version of this. It says, Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. And Hebrews 12:5-11 says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. When God causes us to suffer because of our own sin, we should be thankful, because he is drawing us back from the sin. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Right? If your conscience bothers you when you commit sin, view that as a beautiful gift from God, because it is his chastening. It is him loving you as a father, seeking to help you to understand the good. You may remember we talked about the dry cisterns, which are sin, where we seek satisfaction in those bowls that are carved out in the ground where there is no water but only dry dirt, and we say that this is satisfying, when we could simply go to the river of life, obtain the water of life, and never thirst again. But God dealeth with you as with a son. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. God uses his chastening. He uses the suffering that we go through because of sin for our good, so that we will bear fruit which is to his glory. That bearing of fruit, doing good works, understanding the truth more fully, brings us joy. It brings joy to those that are around us, who are our brothers and sisters, and it glorifies God. This is the beautiful way that God uses suffering. This goes to what has been hinted at and what has actually already been said already. Wisdom is life. John 17:3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I've read that verse many, many times as we've worshiped together, because it is so central. That to know God, the only true God, and to know Jesus Christ is life. How do we know him? John 17:17 tells us, sanctify them through your truth. Thy word is truth. If we reverence and honor wisdom, if we reverence and honor God, we must honor his word, which is the truth. And we need to understand that not only do we come to the knowledge of God in a saving way through the word, but we're also sanctified through the word. Sanctification is that process whereby God makes us more holy, and it includes that chastening that we've been talking about. That pursuing the truth is often painful, and trying to apply it to ourselves is often hard, and it leads to exhaustion, but we should not despise it, and we should not despise the fact that learning the truth more makes it so that our conscience is hurt us more, because that is a process that takes away those things which bring ultimately only death and only displeasure, and it replaces it with a beautiful fruit unto harvest. Proverbs 2:6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." John 8:31-32, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Knowledge of the truth of Scripture, the knowledge of the words of God, brings life. And that is because Christ is the wisdom of God. There is no difference between the word that we have in Scripture and Christ, who is the living word. In the Scriptures, we have the mind of Christ given to us. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, we believe the words in Scripture. These texts would be too long to go over, but I sincerely encourage you to read the text that I have next to that statement that Christ is wisdom, the wisdom of God. Christ is portrayed as wisdom in Proverbs chapter 8, in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, in Hebrews 4, and in John 17. And also, if you look at the first book of the Bible, look at Genesis chapter 1, after reading these, when it says that God created by his word, by speaking, it helps you to go back and realize that Christ is the word and wisdom of God, to see how gloriously Christ is involved in creation as well as in redemption. Wisdom is an attempt to answer the most important questions in life. Not just an attempt, the wisdom of God is the answer to that. But philosophy is an attempt to answer it. And man's philosophy fails to answer the most basic questions, whereas the wisdom of God, the philosophy of God, Christianity, that which is taught in the Scriptures, answers the questions. And we have dealt with some of these basic questions today. What is truth, and how do you know? But we will deal with that in greater detail next time. In short, the answer to what is truth is the Word of God is truth. How do we know? The Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge. Some of the other questions that we'll be trying to answer that are important for us to understand, and that the Shorter Catechism is actually meant to help us to find those answers in Scripture. What is the purpose of life? What is real? What is good and what is evil? Why is there evil? Why is there misery? And why is there death at all? Are these necessary? Why do I suffer? And why must I personally die? How can I be happy? And how can I have life? And how can I have true community rather than be either lonely or miserable around disconnected people? Seeing God rightly and seeing ourselves rightly leads immediately to fear. That fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." When we see God rightly, it makes it much easier to see ourselves rightly. And that the whole of wisdom is really focused on the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves. If we understand God rightly and understand ourselves rightly, it leads us on the rest of the path of wisdom. Proverbs 15:33, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." When we recognize that God is great and that God is good and we fear him, we will become humble and realize that we have a need for instruction, that we need wisdom, that we must get wisdom, and we must buy the truth and not sell it, because that is the only remedy that we have for our current state. It is the only way to eliminate the misery that we have and to replace it with joy. So let us humble ourselves before the Lord. And as we study in Psalm 2, let us kiss the Son and live. Let us submit to his rule. So again, on this idea of philosophy and Christianity being the philosophy of God, the discipline of philosophy is an effort to seek wisdom. So I am inviting you to be disciples of the Scriptures and disciples of Christ, seeking wisdom together. Systematic philosophy is an attempt to understand reality in a way that fits together without contradiction. And the Scriptures provide us with a systematic philosophy. It's scattered around in bits and pieces because the Lord did not just give us a book that was organized in the same way that, for example, the Catechism is. It is his glory to hide the truth in plain sight. so that the wise will miss it. And the foolish things of the world he will bring to understand his wisdom. And by his word he makes us wiser than the wise men of the world. So we must search the scriptures and seek to understand them rightly. Again, Christianity, what the scriptures teach, is the philosophy of God. And the more basic principles of any philosophy govern the less basic. So we're going in order, studying first the idea, the question, how do you know? Because that answer to the question, how do you know, governs all of the other answers. Next time, we will focus on the most basic questions, which we already touched on today. So, what is true, and how can I know what is true? I want to show you how the Scripture answers those questions, and I want to show you that there's an argument in the Scriptures, and there's an argument against all of the philosophies of man, all of the attempts of the world to come up with wisdom. So next time, we will be focusing on what is sometimes called apologetics, a defense of the faith, being able to show from the beginning that the Word of God is a rational system that defeats all others, that it tears down the strongholds of the enemy, and it stands, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the kingdom of God because it has a fortress of truth. So next time we'll be talking about epistemology. That's just a fancy word for the study of knowledge. It is the discipline of studying knowledge. And the most basic question in philosophy, like I said, is what is truth? And the related question of how do I know what is true? So a couple of definitions there for you in preparation next time. I very specifically want you to understand that knowledge is true. It's not false. If you have a false belief, that's not knowledge. Secondly, it is justified in the sense that it is rationally justified. You can show why you believe it. If you think something's true and you happen to be right, you have a correct opinion, but you are not able to prove it. Knowledge is able to be proven back to a first principle, the highest authority. And knowledge is a type of belief. Whenever we think something, it has to do with our beliefs. That's distinct from an opinion. An opinion is any belief that is not knowledge. You can have true opinions, you can have false opinions, but the point is, the difference between knowledge and opinion is that an opinion is something that you think that you cannot defend rationally, back to a first principle. Then there's ignorance. There's some things we just haven't heard of. There are certain objects in the world that we have never dealt with, and we don't have any thoughts about them. That's ignorance. So these are the states of mind that we can have. Those three things, and that's an important precursor to what we're going to be talking about next time. Knowledge, opinion, and ignorance. Those are the states of mind that we can ultimately have about any concept, about any idea, about any subject, any noun. We can have knowledge about it, we can have opinions about it, we can be ignorant about it. And remember that wisdom is knowledge that leads to blessedness. Not all knowledge leads to blessedness, but wisdom does. So our goal is to be able to have knowledge so that we can, in particular, have the knowledge that leads to blessedness, that leads to life. So again, I would ask you to please consider any questions, objections, or comments that you have. We can discuss them at the meal.